Welcome to World's Local Podcast. And you know, I don't do this very often. So, you know, just to break the ice between us, I'll try it, okay? If it goes bad, we will shoot it.
No. Let's keep it authentic.
Before that, can you give me some groove? Ah, eh, ah, eh. Come on.
Ah,
eh, ah, eh, ah, eh. Fahad Kaleem with the question so clean. In this Mercedes van, it's a rolling scene. Studio on wheels, no need for a stage. Beat all the odds. Millions engaged. K9's his baby, his pride, his grind. Success and views, they're all aligned. No setups change, just keeps on turning and churning. But at the end, isn't it concerning?
Wow, bro. That's very nice. That's very nice.
Sorry, I was trembling. I was nervous because you're there in front. Trust me, I practice better than this.
No, damn. I've never imagined that someone put a rap on my life. I started creating the podcast style content way before the wave came into Dubai. And my angle was always not to have a podcast, just to make fun of podcasts. So even today, I don't have a podcast.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't have a one-hour recording of me sitting.
Yeah, even me, myself, I have done one-hour recording, but what we do is we take the engaging part and put that on the reels.
And I understood that, like, from a very long time ago, that no one's going to sit and watch me for 20 minutes, 30 minutes even, at least right now. They don't know who I am.
Okay.
So might as well just get out there with the short clips. And that's what I've been
doing. Did it start? Let's go at the beginning. What was your career like? Did you work at some as a boarding clerk or accountant or engineer?
My labor card actually did say filing clerk, but that was not my job.
Okay.
You want to go all the way back to university. So I dropped out of two universities here. I was pursuing electrical engineering. That was my passion. I wanted to get into robotics right after electrical engineering. Mm-hmm. And parallel to that, I was doing a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
I worked in Jitex as a sales promoter. I worked in cricket stadiums as a ticket usher. I delivered biryani for my friend's restaurant as well.
Oh, you're a biryani supplier as well.
Yes.
Was this ever online?
I don't think it ever made
exclusive.
It on.
World's local, guys.
I don't think there's any content about this. But me and my partner used to do it together, me and Majdi. We used to go get this car because it's my best friend's kitchen. You know those local kitchens that deliver biryani?
Yeah. I've seen like very, very cheap biryanis.
Yes, that one.
Yeah.
So he's my best friend since childhood. So whenever there was Ramadan, they would need extra help and we would just, you know, become drivers for that period of time.
But that's like a volunteering part or you
No, we
were
get
earning?
Paid. We would get paid. Man, these kitchens make a lot of money during Ramadan.
So you and Majdi did that and not something regarding media or not any. So you guys always tagged along for any partners in crime.
We first met in 2014 and we just met at this Jitex job.
Wow.
And so since then, we built a circle around us of people. Like whenever there's a job, we need people. Because these part-time jobs just need people temporarily.
Yeah.
And the biggest issue with part-time jobs back then, I don't know what it is now, is that you need to have your own visa. And you need to get the NOC from your sponsor to work. But mostly people don't have their own visa when they're getting these part-time jobs. So we had that. Our fathers had sponsored us. We were born and raised here. So we didn't have that issue. So naturally that grew. That circle grew.
Mm.
And I guess Majdi graduated as civil engineer. I dropped out. And I was working in this media company for like 10 months. That was like my last job.
Okay.
I did a bunch of jobs before. I even worked for like this tech company which was supplying RFID control chips for fuel monitoring systems.
Yeah,
I was in that for a while. I was working for another tech company that was doing planetarium experiences for children in schools. So there was a part of my life where I would wake up at 5 a.m., go to schools, just sit with this planetarium and kids are coming in and going out. So I would have to manage that project.
Man, pretty much boring jobs you had, and then you transited to something very fun and comedic.
Creating these videos, cracking lame jokes was something I just enjoyed, and we as friends used to create content always. Like, we weren't going viral, but like creating content was just a hobby.
How many years back?
2018 I think would be the first time that I actually started creating something on Snapchat. On Twitter, I went viral on Twitter before anything. And because I went viral on Twitter, my Instagram...
Twitter?
Yeah.
What, as like news or videos?
Like, I posted a video, a screen recording of my WhatsApp chat with my mom, and she was cursing me basically that I had torn my shalwar kameez. It was Eid.
Okay.
So when I posted that, it kind of picked up. Like, it just naturally picked up.
I thought Twitter is about politics and news and things like that.
Anything can work on. In fact, I believe still today, like if you want to go really viral. Twitter is the first medium that I experienced virality.
Wow.
And then Instagram happened. And then while I was working in this media company, I started experiencing growth. I started focusing on content more. And I think it was one of my clients at this media company who was actually my friend as well.
Okay.
You might recognize the name Azhar Sajjan from the Danube group.
Yes, yes, yes.
Casa Milano. So he's my friend since university. So he's like, man, why don't you come make TikToks for us? You're already doing some stuff on your own page. Make it for us as well. And this was around the time I was leaving this media firm for another, I was looking for other opportunities. And you need to understand, like, there's no degree at the back of my hand.
Yeah.
So I just have to figure it out. So I was like, sure, let's give it a shot. And I gave it a shot and it worked out. Quite literally, it worked out.
So it's very interesting that you said from the media agency, then you got into the media track, right?
Yeah.
So is it true that you are now competing so much with that media company?
I wouldn't say competing because that media company is a 365 media company. We're niche on TikTok.
Okay.
We've never really offered any other services in media.
No physical marketing, no boards, no billboards, nothing.
Clients come to us, and even if they want paid marketing, we say we can't do it. We might in the future, but for the last 4 years, all we've done is organic TikTok content creation. That's it. Since 2020 up until 2024. We're in talks of adding services, but I feel like there's so many media companies out there just doing
exactly.
everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The only way you can differentiate yourself is by hyper focus, you know, just tunnel vision on one specific niche. And people have called me out on this and be like, well, what happens if TikTok dies? What happens if the demand just disappears for this short form content creator? I'm like, we'll figure it out. We'll find something else.
But it's not just TikTok. It's also Instagram.
It's short form content.
Short form content.
Yeah. Organic reach with short form content, and Instagram copy TikTok, Snapchat's copy TikTok, YouTube has shorts, Facebook has reels.
But don't you think it is a challenge? I mean, to promise your client organic content.
We don't promise.
But then you said that you want to do only organic, and if it doesn't work, what happens?
Client leaves. Simple. There's been so many times the client has left, but there has been clients working with me since 4 years. Tawfiq has been working with us since 2.5 years.
I love Mr. Tawfiq's content. Yeah, it's amazing. And props like to him. I always say to people, see, he's owner
props
and
to
he's
him,
he's a millionaire or a billionaire.
Billionaire
I don't know.
Probably.
Okay, and he is making content on TikTok by himself and not a content promoter.
Yes,
that itself says a lot that marketing has changed a lot for companies, right?
It has, and we have to give credit to TikTok for that because it allowed people who weren't famous before to become famous.
Okay.
Like if you want to go pre-TikTok and you want to ask someone to go viral, well, you need PR, influencer seeding, ad campaigns, a big stunt or something like that. And then people will start following you, a giveaway. TikTok, you don't need anything but just good content.
So you're primarily good at TikTok, you said?
Short form content, what I used to say TikTok, but like now I've seen that same content is going viral on Instagram Reels as well.
YouTube Shorts?
YouTube Shorts. It's slower, but like it works over there.
What about Snapchat's Spotlight?
I personally gained 50,000 followers with my own content from Snapchat Spotlight, but lately I haven't been seeing much traction. But yeah, the same content works everywhere because the same human beings. It's not like an alien is watching you on Snapchat.
Yeah.
It's the same brain, it's the same audience. It's just, I guess, a matter of time as the audience grows on these apps. That you experience the same reach.
And what's really wrong with you that you are handing out secrets? Like I have also received document, like proper document. Yeah. I thought you might delete it.
No.
I thought you might delete it from Google Drive.
So for the first four
what
years of
what happened to you, man? I mean, are you going to suicide?
No.
I mean, suicide on the professional terms, Yanni.
No. For the first 4 years, this was the biggest concern. Don't give out secrets. Don't tell anyone. Gatekeep it. This is our trade secret. But then I started realizing that even if you give it out, people can't figure it out.
Mm.
And forget giving it out. There's just the amount of literacy when it comes to this field is close to zero in the market.
Yeah.
So when it comes to working with clients, they don't know what they want. When it comes to explaining the value of content that I'm creating, like what's the value of what I'm creating? Like, people don't know what you're doing. Then you're just kind of like, okay, we're making money out of it, but making money is not my main objective from this. I want to leave a legacy behind. I want people to study me in books. And when I die, the bank account is just going to disappear. But at least what I taught will remain with people. So there was actually one guy who convinced me to do this.
Okay.
I was strictly against the whole idea of creating a community, creating courses, teaching people content creation.
But those were like super gems. Like when I read it, I was like, I got 2-3 points and I'm like, no, wait, let me internalize that stuff first.
Yeah. Some guy told me, he's like, would you rather have the other people out there, the competitors, the ones who are claiming to be social media experts, sell a course and get money for that?
Yeah.
Or would you rather have that money and teach people? And I just started thinking. And he's like, it's almost your moral obligation from an ethical standpoint to create this and help people now that you know it. And he's like, if you do it for free, nobody's going to care. But if you actually charge people on it, they'll put a value to it. And if you think about it, that's absolutely right. We don't value stuff that's free.
Exactly.
If it's expensive or if it's paid for, we want to do it. Why do we pay for the gym membership when you can just run outside for free? Right?
Isn't that concerning?
Do that as one of the podcasts, you know? And so that really pushed me. And so for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I haven't really spoken publicly about this. By the time this podcast comes out, I think first week of November, I'm aiming to launch a school community where everything, like literally the blueprint, I'm calling it the viral blueprint. Everything that I know, step by step, in-depth explanations about it, is going to be available for people to access.
It's amazing what you mentioned also just prior. You said, you know, though we give those handouts and things like that, people don't follow still.
I've given so much for free.
Yeah. It's something like what Cristiano said in a viral video. You want to become Cristiano? Here's the map.
Yeah.
But no one wants to go through.
No one wants to put in the work.
Yeah. So that's a fact.
Yeah. So, and if you think about it from a business standpoint, to speak about what you said, like the self-destruction, it won't. The more people get educated by this course, and there are more businesses that are accessing this, will understand, okay, there is a value in what this guy is doing. And if they want to work with me, I have my agency. So it's just full circle.
Yeah.
So even the people who end up studying from this community will only speak about K9 as a business and be like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. And if you want, you can learn it and try to do it yourself, or the agency exists and they can execute it for you.
Yeah, you're right. You know, until I got the handout and until we spoke a little bit about this, for me as a viewer, it's just a plain video. We don't see what's the hook, what's engaging, what are the things you are doing to get the comments, and what are you thinking behind the scenes, how are you directing the video, so and what is the relatability? You know, I've read quite a lot on that. So of course, when I do my videos, I have my internal stuff, like what to do, what not to do. But I was pretty shocked, like there were these kind of points as well to look onto.
The objective is to teach people the language of social media. People are teaching hooks. People are teaching how to, you know, get likes, comments, engagement. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about this, but no one's talking about the language of social media. And that comes before going viral. You can look at it almost as if coding. If you don't know how to code in C++ language or JavaScript, you'll never be able to change the code or create a code. And I think the same thing applies on social media. If you don't understand the language and the rules with which you should speak in social media, you might go viral because it's possible to go viral, but you won't be able to sustain it. So, yeah.
So for 3 months, you know, I was also hiring video editors like from India. It took me 3 months, 100 applications. None of them, like you said, the language of social media had any concept of this.
Yeah.
They had the same YouTube video format, the wedding video kind of format. Like, I mean, if you put that on social media, it's not going to go more than 12 views or, you know, only your parents or friends would watch it. What do you think, like, social media video editors, I mean, are they there in the market or these people are just graduating from the multimedia courses and not really getting into what the market needs?
I think they're seeing what other people are doing and copying it. Mm. That's what majority of the editors are doing. I edit a lot, and so I understand editing like on a very in-depth level. And I can see when a video comes in front of my feed, was this edited as a copy-paste edit or was this a creation edit? And usually in this part of the world, no one's really creating anything new. They're just seeing what's going viral and then replicating it. So, I mean, it could be kids interns or you know, young graduates who are just trying to make a quick buck on the side. And it's a great business model. There's so many agencies across that have been set up that only sit and they edit videos for people, but they're replicating the same edit, you know. And I always tell people, if you want to start at a restaurant, for example, the best case scenario would be if you were the chef of the restaurant before you started it. Yeah. Best case scenario.
Yeah.
Because then you would know exactly the type of food that needs to be cooked in this restaurant. And if you're a good chef, then the food would be good as well. And then you can instruct other chefs under you to create, you know, better food. So if you're running an editing agency or a social media agency and you yourself don't know how to create content, you yourself don't understand exactly what you need, then what do you expect the editors to create for you, you know? And even as a client, if you as a client don't understand social media at the fundamentals, then what are you expecting the agency to do for you? Mm. Like, you don't understand the concept. You've hired a painter to paint your wall blue and you don't know what the color blue is. So the painter will come and paint blue and you'll be like, this is wrong. Mm. And that's what happens 99% of the time in what I've experienced personally in my agency as well. People sign up working with us because they see the numbers, they see the views. Oh, Tofiq is going viral. Alex is going viral. Sephora is going viral. But then when it comes down to actually creating the content and going through those workflow, they back out and they end up leaving.
Because their needs, also their inputs. I mean, it's not just one side.
No, it's also like some of the companies have marketing managers who have just done marketing a specific way for the last 10 years. Mm. And now this is new. There's no university major that teaches you organic content creation in marketing. No professor that is teaching
university. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I agree completely. Yeah.
I have kids working with me, 21, 22 year olds, who are just finishing their bachelor's in marketing or something like that. And I ask him, does your professor have viral videos? He goes like, I'm like, you're more valuable than your professor right now when it comes to viral content creation, because you have more data on viral content creation than he does. He probably has the structural or educational background to approach this and understand this and break this down. I'm not saying that any professor is bad or anything, but it's just we need to accept and understand that this field is new and it requires some hands-on testing and practical understanding of it. There's no education that exists just yet. Even what I'm giving out to people is just 4 years of data compiled, which is too little.
Okay.
I need to have at least 10 years of data to claim that I know what I'm doing. Till today.
What kind of data are you referring to?
Content. The content that I've created. I've created 30, 40,000 plus videos through my agency for clients. I've created 2,000 plus pieces of content for myself. So that's the data I'm talking about. And that data tells me what's the pattern of the audience behavior. How do they react to what?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you don't have that data or if
you don't get that through Instagram or Meta.
I mean, Instagram and TikTok has this data themselves as a company.
But you need to compile for yourself.
You need to compile something for yourself, for your own profile. Because it varies for each profile.
Man, I never thought that you would talk in such in-depth level and that, you know,
this
you,
is my job,
and you're also looking forward to even collect such data and decide, right?
Bro, there's a crazy idea that I had and I was thinking about last night before sleeping. I was like, if I could build an AI machine that can predict virality, that would be crazy.
Predict virality.
Yeah.
Virality. Wow.
By the data that you feed into it. I don't know if it exists out there just yet, but
if anyone's out there,
don't
spam me.
But yeah.
Interesting. You know, interesting, you mentioned with the school kids and things like that. So my son would ask for phone and iPad and things like that. I said, you know what? I have CapCut Pro.
Amazing.
Edit your videos.
Yeah.
And he would tell me, Baba, you know, there is stickers on CapCut. You know that? I said, no. And then he would teach me.
Yeah.
And he would edit and he want to make YouTube videos and he always ask me, let's do it. But I didn't do it. He is so interested. So rather than him focusing on games, he's so interested in CapCut and he's editing and cutting and that's, he's just 6 years old.
Bro, you know how coders were the future millionaires?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Editors are the future millionaires, I feel.
Future millionaires?
I feel.
You're kidding me.
Because just look at it this way, from the last 4 years, the demand for good editing has only gone up because the amount of content that is being created has only gone up.
Yeah.
The amount of content being created is only going to go up. The newer generation that is being born and is into this iPad, tablet generation, right?
Yeah.
So they're only going to end up creating content. So the market for editing content is going to increase. And if you're the best editor, you're going to have the best clients. Mm. And the more time you have, like if someone comes to me at the age of 20 and goes like, I've been editing for the last 10 years, I'll blindly pay him. Because I know this editor is far more experienced and has the know-how of this application than an editor that I'll hire who's 35 or 40.
Because the thing is, the style is changing every now and then. Yeah. Like right now, if you see the podcasts are coming on the 1:1, you know, with the black square frame. Yeah, the square. Yeah. Right? It's always changing.
It's a trend.
Yeah.
So they're hopping onto this trend.
So by what I say, I think your handouts will also expire within 2 or 3 months.
They will probably. So that's why it's not a one-time course.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just not kidding. I mean, yeah. I'm just trying to understand.
So which is why this is endlessly going to continue. Like what I'm building in this community is going to have an endless group calls, endless amount of content that I keep updating. This was the issue that I had with courses.
Okay.
People make a course one time, upload it, boom, sell it. Mm. With this school community, I can keep adding videos every time there's an update. And the thing is, I'm learning something every single day as well.
What do you mean by school community? You're going to go to schools or are you going to...
So Alex Hormozi is...
School, yeah. S-K-O-O-L. Yes, yes, yeah.
So that's what I'm working on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like a website, fahadkaleem.com. It's a school community.
And it will be a paid course?
It will be a paid community, yeah.
Paid community?
Yeah.
So like a club?
Like
Andrew Tate's club?
Yeah. War room.
War room.
Yeah. It'll be an endless amount of content being uploaded over there. Whatever I learn, I'm going to be sharing over there.
Do we have the prices ready?
No, it's still like you're probably the first person I'm speaking to about this.
Man.
I'm in fact
I always get this world's local exclusive. Yeah. Man, I can't believe I'm so lucky, mashallah.
Yeah. First week of November is going to go live. Hopefully this goes live around that time as well. But yeah, I haven't publicly spoken about it just yet.
Okay. Interesting.
But you'll see a lot of content coming out on that.
You have got your brother also.
Yes. My brother's in the operations management.
I forgot his name, but Fez. I'm following him. Fez Kalim.
Yes.
How is it like working with a brother and trying to...
He's my younger brother. We have our, you know, back and forths every now and then. But it's always better to have someone from your own blood in the business than an outsider. I mean, that's my personal experience. But he manages the show very well. And I would say K9's backbone is him right now.
I mean, it's very rare nowadays brothers work together, father and son works together because of the bonding issue there. You know, when it's work, you know, you become also personal in the work. I mean, how can you explain like the few, you know, other brothers to, do you think it's a good idea? Do you think?
It can be good and bad. Any sort of partnership that revolves around friends or relatives, your own family can become bad. You as a human being need to know how to maneuver diplomatically. Like sometimes there might be situations where it's like, it's a matter of your ego and you can avoid the argument if you just look at it professionally, you know? And so I've learned how to do that. So if you know how to make a business relationship work parallel to your friend or your relative, it's the best thing that you can create. And this is something I learned from Tawfiq as well.
Wow.
He also has a partnership with his best friend since he was like a child.
Yes, I've heard the story.
With Yasser. So he was like, if you find the right people who are your family, there's nothing better than that. And if you can't make it work, you can't make it work. That's the risk that you go into with any business. You know, it's as simple as that.
Because there were family businesses like in India, I'm sure in Pakistan as well.
So many.
They go with generations and generations. But now it's like breaking apart. Everyone have their own homes and separate.
Happens, man. Happens. In fact, I've told my brother, like, K9 is just a stepping stone for me in my life. And I'm going to do far more bigger things than K9. So I would rather have you sit on the table than anyone else in my place.
I just had this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday. I mean, everything is good when money is good.
100%.
When money goes down, everything goes disaster for most of people. Have you ever gone broke when you started your agency?
Well, at the beginning of the agency, there was a situation where I was, I think, under 20,000. I was negative 20,000. Literally, I had to borrow money to stay afloat. And it was because of my own mistakes financially, my personal mistakes. But that was, I think, the only one time. and it didn't really come in the way of business.
How did you shift from there? How did you say that, you know, I don't want to make this? Or have you ever had self-doubts like, why am I even doing this?
All the
time. I should have worked in that previous media company and just earned my buck, right?
So that never came in my head.
Never?
No. Going back to a previous job was never the thought that came in my head. But what did come in my head was like, why am I doing content creation? I was supposed to be a robotics engineer.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be building stuff. Why am I doing this? And then
Is that you or your father who says that?
No, my father has had zero influence over my decisions. Yeah.
Wow.
In fact, my family was super against the idea of me dropping out.
I paid for your engineering. Yeah. Now you're doing this stuff.
Yeah. So
Joker. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No,
typical.
Yeah. So my dad isn't that. My mom is that strict parent, you know. So my dad was chill. And in fact, the situation when I dropped out was like I was paying 20-30% of my fees. So I had a very good argument back then. I was like, you guys, I don't want you to go into debt with my university. Let me just figure my own stuff out.
Wow, mashallah.
So it was never like, of course they put in their time. Like my dad has woken up every single day for like 15 years, take me to school, then they drop me to college, you know. And then all of a sudden your son just drops out. But I think my dad was very optimistic. Like he just said, okay, fine. Like, because he'd been seeing me since school doing part-time jobs. So he was like, okay, maybe he'll figure it out. I was right at the time of COVID. And today I don't think they will complain, but my mom still wants me to get a degree.
Really? Moms are always like that.
Yeah.
You know, my mom considers, like, I'm 37 years old and still my mom considers me like, I think by now she considers me as like adult, but
yeah,
5 years back, I think I'm still a baby and I don't know things. Yeah. And, you know,
it'll always be like that.
You know, you could have had university and then you wouldn't struggle. You wouldn't hustle this much.
Yes.
You could monthly get.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the main wealth is your freedom, right?
100%.
I mean, tomorrow you are going to travel. I mean, that won't work if you were. The quick decisions which we can make in life, right?
Right at like the second year of this agency, I felt like this is the most amount of happiness and freedom that I'll ever achieve in my life. I wake up when I want to. I go to my shoots when I want to. I sleep when I want to. I can eat whatever I want. I was like, this is all I need. I don't need more than this.
But you know,
to be happy. Now, to gain more things and do more things in my life, that starts over here. You know, but if someone wanted to ask me that you achieved ultimate happiness, yeah, I've done that. Now I have to work more to achieve bigger things. That's it.